from the Cyber Hub bunker in studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. It's great to be back. It's great to be in this atmosphere with all of y'all. Really, I missed it. 9 days off. 9 days too long being away from this awesome community. We've got a lot to talk about on this morning's show, including a follow-up from what we kicked off yesterday with the UnitedHealth CEO testifying in front of Senate and kind of some of the questions back and forth. What did we know? Nothing crazy came out of his testimony, I'll say that. Then a whole slew of data breaches. And a bunch of vulnerabilities and exploits and everything else. So without further ado, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, please make sure to do so right now. Please follow us on Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. It's where all of my writing goes. It's the only place I'll write. I don't write on our website. I don't write anywhere else. Exclusively on Substack. A new article I wrote while I was on break after reading the bill that President Biden signed that passed somehow through Congress and Senate, where we gave a whole bunch of money, billions and billions of dollars to a whole bunch of countries, and then we can't fund CISA. But that's a discussion for a different story. But then we're also banning TikTok. And I've kind of got an issue with TikTok, but also have an issue with government overstepping this TikTok ban. So we'll talk about that a little bit in that article. You can go check it out on our Substack exclusively. Let us know your feedback. Leave a comment. I love to engage with our listeners. Now, without further ado, join me for a coffee cup cheers. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. Let's go ahead and start off with the UnitedHealth CEO confirming that UnitedHealth paid the $22 million ransom to the Black Cat Alpha V ransomware gang initially during the early parts of their ransomware attack on UnitedHealthcare. They partially said that, well, we wanted to ensure that the data would get deleted. It had nothing to do with recovery, a whole bunch of stuff. But this was a disastrous ransomware. It really was. The impact on the healthcare industry is unbelievable. And you know how I know this? I spoke to several CISOs on this matter who are in healthcare, who said that because they were a Change Healthcare customer, they were not getting paid and their float wouldn't hold through for more than 30 days, meaning some healthcare facilities, especially in underserved communities. When you go outside to rural America, right, go outside a metro area, go live 2 hours away from the nearest big city, the nearest international airport, and you typically don't have a fancy healthcare system. You've got some really local healthcare facilities, and these healthcare facilities operate on a 30-day float. So when they don't get paid, it essentially means they're out of luck, and they can't provide healthcare services because they can't pay their bills, they can't pay their employees, and they can't collect. And so this had significant downstream impact. And it's understandable why, if you watch the testimony or you listen to the testimony yesterday, some senators were furious. You can understand that because their constituents, in many places, the rural constituents, or some of their customers and donors were all impacted by this. This may have a larger impact financially than Equifax. Financially than Equifax. I'll say that. So Witte was pressed a whole bunch of times about notifying the public about how many people their data was accessed. He says it'll still take him several more weeks to figure out just who was victimized and how they were victimized in this attack. And that just helps you understand the scope of this thing. We're in May. This breach really took place, I believe, in February. 3 months later, they still don't know the scope of this breach. And that's significant. And that's significant because when you don't know the scope, you understand how much data was there, how much data was exfiltrated, you understand how blind Change Healthcare was to their environment and to the data going in and out. So overall, there are restoration concerns that came from both sides of the aisle. I will say there were very few dumb moments from senators yesterday. And that's typically very, very rare in these types of hearings because someone always tries to grandstand. It did what I think Change Healthcare did, which is something. One is it brought up the whole idea of good cybersecurity hygiene, and what does that make? We know the way they got in, as we talked about yesterday on the show, was through multi-factor MFA logins on a Citrix server for Change Healthcare. That's how they got in. There was they compromised credentials, and tomorrow I'll talk about the Verizon DBIR, and one of the top priorities, one of the big things there is credentials, right? So identity is the new perimeter, credentials are your new perimeter. It's where you've got to focus. It's where you've got to invest. And they didn't have multi-factor authentication on the Citrix server. So they got in, and then from there, they were able to say sophisticated, but it wasn't very sophisticated. At that point, they were able to map out the network. They were able to deploy tools like Cobalt Strike and others that would have been normal in that type of environment. They may have not raised any alarms because of the sheer size of the network. And within 9 days, they deployed the ransomware, understanding what they had. So there's definitely that. Obviously, there's future legislation on the way. If they can pass a data privacy legislation, that'd be kind of nice. I know it's an election year and everyone wants to grandstand in order to raise more money in order to say, we're going to do this next term, but how about you do it this term and say, here are the things we're doing for you, and that helps people elect you as well. So there's that. I don't want to get too long. I know I've ran off a little bit on this topic, but that's just the overall picture here. Let's go ahead and move to some other stories we've got.
There is a security breach.
Plenty of those, by the way. Plenty. Dropbox yesterday disclosed a data breach impacting customers of Dropbox Sign, formerly known as HelloSign. HelloSign is essentially DocuSign. HelloSign was a separate company. It's not DocuSign. It's a competitor to DocuSign. Dropbox bought HelloSign. And now we see that, according to Dropbox, a threat actor gained access to the Sign production environment, access customer information, including email addresses, username, phone numbers, hashed passwords, data on general account settings, authentication data such as API keys, OAuth tokens, and multi-factor authentication. Even users who may have not even created an account, but rather just received an email saying, sign here. Had their data compromised, and that included their names and email addresses. There's no indication in the payment information or customer files, meaning the signed contracts or documents, were accessed as of now. The intrusion was discovered a few weeks ago on April 24th. The investigation's ongoing. There's no evidence that any other Dropbox product was notified. This isn't Dropbox's first dance with a data breach, obviously, but nonetheless, this one is significant. There's that there as well. Now we'll move on to Panda Restaurant Group. You know, if you want good Chinese food, where do you go? Do you go to the local mom and pop Chinese place? No, you go to Panda Express. Well, Panda Express has just disclosed the data breach after attackers compromised its corporate systems in March, stole the PII of an undisclosed number of associates. Panda Express is the largest Chinese fast food chain in the U.S. They have $3 billion in sales, 47,000 associates working in 2,300 branches in the country. The company discovered a data security breach on March 10th. It affected some of its corporate systems, but left its in-store systems, operations, and guest experiences unaffected. As soon as it detected it, they went through the whole shebang. And again, I don't read a lot of these stuff because it's the same thing. It's literally the same line. According to information filed with the Office of the Maine Attorney General, information exposed in the attack included affected people's names and other PII, like their driver's license number or non-driver identification card numbers. So this may be an HR system type of deal because it's only associates. So there's that. A critical vulnerability in GitLab's email verification process could lead to password hijacking and is being exploited in the wild, according to CISA. This is CVE-2023-7028. It's got a CVSS score of 10 out of 10. The flaw allows for password reset messages to be sent to email addresses that have not been verified. It enables attackers to hijack the password reset process and take over accounts. We talked about this back in January. I remember talking about this, but now there's an active exploit, and apparently not everyone has upgraded to the latest GitLab edition. And so there's around 1,400, I believe, all in all, servers that are still unpatched, and likely to be exploited. Some of these are in Russia, China, and the U.S. Those are the big targets there, according to the Shadow Server Foundation. 5,300 of these have not been patched against the vulnerability. That number dropped to 1,400 on May 1st. So there's that breach there as well. Millions of Docker repos have found to be pushing malware and phishing sites. Three large-scale campaigns have targeted the Docker Hub users, planning millions of repositories that pushed malware and phishing sites since at least early of 2021. Again, supply chain security becomes a really, really big issue here. And one of those is there right there. So we trust Docker. And again, this goes to the zero trust thing. And I can't believe I'm saying this, because for years, I really fought against the zero trust type of approach. But today, the more I see the inner complexities of our supply chain and our software supply chain, the more you understand that what John saw when he envisioned zero trust was extremely visionary, at least in that. Would I name it something different? Yes, but you know, we're not going to argue over names when the concept is good. JFrog security researchers found 20% of the 15 million repositories hosted by Docker Hub contain malicious content ranging from spam to dangerous malware and phishing sites. The researchers discovered almost 4.6 million repos containing no Docker images, which couldn't be run using a Kubernetes cluster or Docker engine, and linked approximately 2.81 million to three large malicious campaigns. Each of these campaigns used different tactics to create and distribute the malicious repositories. The downloader and ebook phishing campaigns created fake repositories in batches, while the website SEO campaign created a few repositories daily and used a single user per repository. All in all, when executed, the malware payload, it push displays an installation dialog that asks the user to download and install the advertised software. However, it will download all malicious binaries from the offer and instead schedule their persistent execution on a compromised system. JFrog suspect this may be part of a larger malware operation which could involve adware or monetization schemes that target devices infected after installing third-party malwares. All in all, that's really reassuring. If you're a Hewlett-Packard Enterprise customer, specifically in Aruba networking, there's four critical RCE flaws that were fixed and require your immediate attentions. Four different CVEs. CVEs all are 2024, 26305, 26304, 33511, and 33512. Everyone's to mitigate the flaws, the vendor recommends enabling enhanced Poppy security and upgrading to the patched versions of Aruba OS. Several of these are utility daemon, allowing an unauthenticated attacker to execute arbitrary code by remotely sending specially crafted packets to the PAPI Aruba's access point management protocol or UDP port 8211. The flaw in the L2 and L3 management service also in the PAPI protocol are all there. Aruba has the latest upgrades. You can see that in the show notes. Go check that out. A never-before-seen malware strain is targeting enterprise-grade and SOHO routers to steal authentication details and other data from behind the network edge. Also performs DNS and HTTP hijacking attacks on connection to private IP addresses. It's been dubbed Cuttlefish by the Black Lotus Lab team at Lumen Technologies, who discovered it. It features a zero-click approach to capturing data from users and devices, according to the blog post. Cuttlefish also has a secondary function, gives it the capacity to perform both DNS and HTTP hijacking. It's a unique malware behavior, something that really hasn't been seen before. And so there's a lot of attribution there to see where is it coming from. Right now it's targeting Turkish telcos, and it's got links to the Hiatus RAT, and that's where it's being tested. Turkey is its testing ground as well. I know we're almost out of time, so just 30 more seconds. As we say, the U.S. government is warning that pro-Russian hacktivists are seeking out and hacking into unsecured OT systems using to disrupt critical infrastructure operations. This is coming from a multi-state, multi-country notice, predominantly targeting water facilities at this time. Additionally, there's been new unveiled security guidelines aimed at bolstering critical infrastructure against AI-related threats. All in all, the government's highly focused on critical infrastructure. So there's that, and that's something to pay attention to. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm doing a special show. We're going to talk Verizon DBIR. Chris may or may not join me. I think he's trying to figure out his schedule, but that'll be 11 a.m. Eastern. Tune in. We're going to pull up the report. We're going to go over it together. Questions, answers, comments. We'd love it. Join us tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, for that. Until then, have a great rest of your day, y'all. And most importantly, stay cyber safe. Thank you.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.